And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
How to get any girl's attention at a party. Quick glance, smile, look at a friend, take a drink, look away, and bring them back. Flare the nostrils, soften it, bite the lip, harder. Puff the chest, mating call. Look away. Look at your watch. Is that a fly? And we're back. Smolder. Cross-eyed. Hard to get. Bite, laugh, and gone. Add some mystery. Now baby face. Dance, slow it down, and peacock. Bigger, bigger. She's all yours.
Good morning, Swift! And welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, March 18th. I got the giggles because that was a very funny cold open. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. And let's get right to the big news of the day. Congratulations, JD, on the new house, baby.
Thank you. Thank you. Still due diligence to go through, but you know.
You think I've jinxed it now by saying that?
No. There's going to have to be something extremely wrong with it for us to walk away at this point. So,
yeah, you just don't want to get back into that cycle of trying to buy and bid on houses. All right, we've taken this whatever it has in offer for us.
All right, well,
that's exactly right.
That's good news. That's awesome. All right, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like and comment and subscribe and share the No Dunks YouTube channel with all of your NBA friends. Help us get those subs up. We did just hit 34,000 subscribers, though, so we're on our way still to 50K. Because remember, when we get there, Lee is going to record his own Slim Dusty-like track. All right? We got a long way to go because you guys have slowed down. So we're never going to get to 50K.
I think you keep telling them about that, and that's why it's slowed down. People have heard me sing, and they're like, ooh, maybe we don't want to hit 50,000.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. Email us your questions and your comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in, @nodunksinc, or leave them in the YouTube comments. We kicked around the sand yesterday. Had a blast on the beach discussing hypothetical Carl Anthony Towns for Brandon Ingram trade, a classic who says no. We got into the Woe Boy leaders, and then, man, things really went off the rails. I mean, we talked a lot about houses, JD in the process of buying one, and we talked beans and fancy compost bins and streaking at sporting events. You know, it was a classic Beach Steppin' podcast, a little NBA talk, and then a whole lot of larfs, if you will, as it went on. So go check that out and download that. And finally, immaculate items always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Go and get your No Dunks merch, your hoodies and your t-shirts and your shorts and all that. Okay, well, we got some trades to talk about, some minor ones, but we'll get to those in a second. Let's start with the big game, though, from last night. Giannis coming up big in overtime, and then he took a seat right on the court. Yeah, the Freak scored 10 of his 32 in the extra session to lead the Bucks to the 109-105 victory over the 76ers last night. Matchup of two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. So, Tass, why don't you get us started? Your big takeaway from this, or I could just ask you, is it disrespectful to sit on the basketball court when you're on the road? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is disrespectful, and that's why it was great to see him do it, because I don't think there are many unique celebrations left in the NBA. But to score and then sit, that doesn't happen very often.
It's weird.
It is weird. And that's why it was really, really good. You just don't see it ever. So that was cool. The fans in Philadelphia booing. You know, they boo everything. They boo Santa Claus, as we know. And so whoever was there was booing the crap out of that because, yeah, it felt disrespectful to sit on their floor. And I think Giannis sort of meant it like that. He said he was having fun. It was a personal little 7-0 run that he went on. Now, everybody really pumped for the Bucks, maybe because they made the trade for P.J. Tucker, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. And then they go out and beat the Sixers team on the road. So people really excited on Twitter. This was a signature win. A lot of people were saying it was not. How can it be when Joel Embiid is not playing on the other side of the floor? I know it was exciting to see them come back from 19 down and to see, from the Bucks' perspective, a template of what they're going to try and be in the playoffs. Because last year, and the year before that, they got bogged down. They couldn't get into the lane. Well, this fourth quarter in overtime was the perfect template. You know, Giannis getting into the lane, finding shooters, whether it's Brook Lopez or an improved Dante DiVincenzo, or finding Jrue Holiday, who's getting to the cup. That's exactly what they got him for. So that's great from the Bucks' perspective. A great celebration. But I think the more telling sign of what the Bucks are going to be are the 8 games that they have left against the really good teams in the Eastern Conference. They play all of them, which is awesome for them to have when P.J. Tucker comes. And they have a new guy that's going to help close their games. I think P.J. Tucker is going to be part of their closing lineup to help their defense. It's going to be Giannis, Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, P.J. Tucker, and then whether they go small or big with DiVincenzo or Brook Lopez. And I think that's the best lineup that Giannis has had in the postseason over the last few years since they've been a number one seed. So that's what I'm excited about, and excited where Giannis can take these celebrations. Where does he go next? What does he do next? I don't know, but that's a good start. Will Giannis have the patented sit? Will that be his thing? It looks weird. It looks weird, but I don't know. It's good.
If he makes that his patented signature celebration, he needs to sit a lot longer than he did. Mm. Like, he sat there for 1 second. And then you're like, okay, I'll get back up. I want him to do, I tweeted at you, Tass, because you were saying, you know, you didn't mind it. Greeks like to sit, I think you said on Twitter.
We like sitting.
I would love to see Giannis really go with the old man Greek style, like the casual stroll where you clasp your hands behind your back and you just saunter down the sidelines. I think that would be an awesome celebration for him. So maybe he'll... he'll think about adding that as he gets older. He's too young right now. Yeah.
Well, he did have an interview recently where he said he's getting older and he's being weird.
True.
And so, yeah, you know, that fits. It fits old, weird Giannis, who's 26 years old.
Yeah. What did you think, Lee, from this game? Because we had some crazy plays down the stretch, you know, the Middleton layup and then DiVincenzo gambling on a steal that left Firk wide open in the corner. That got us overtime, but Giannis took over. I mean, Tass said some people on Twitter were saying, oh, Bucks signature win. Well, it sure wasn't looking like that at the half, right? I mean, they were 1-17 from 3. Simmons was locking Giannis up for the most part. I thought he did a pretty incredible job on him. But what were your takeaways from this one?
Well, yeah, the Bucks won in the end. It should have been a little more comfortable than it was because it was in that last 53 seconds they gave up 3 threes to the Sixers to even get it to overtime. Yeah, and DiVincenzo, I don't know what he was doing there on that last play with Furkan, but Furkan's a good shooter. He got them back into the game and knocked that down. So when they got to overtime, you want to see Giannis step up, and he did. And that talking about that sit-down, it's that little handle of the behind the back, in the paint, rising up, knocking down the shot. I think he was shocked himself that he was so comfortable in that. And that's why he sat down. But yeah, he sat down and then he's like, hang on, this is Philadelphia. I don't know if I want to do that in this city, in this arena, because, you know, they could very well find each other in the playoffs, these two teams. And you know that the Philadelphia fans and the team is not going to forget that. So it may come back to haunt Giannis a little bit. You can see someone from, like Joel Embiid, you can see him sitting in Milwaukee if he hits a big shot.
And the Sixers win a game. He is definitely popping a squat, for sure.
There's
good
no
call.
Doubt
he might
about
put,
it.
He might play in his slippers that he was wearing last night.
Oh,
on the
yeah,
sidelines.
What a look he had last
and
night.
And go for
that
30 and 10 and then sit down. Yeah,
good. Yeah, good. Good win for the Bucks, but of course, without Joel Embiid, they should win that game. They really should. And the Sixers, yeah, there's some bit of a sort of sloppy defense there that allowed Chris Middleton just walk in the paint there and score. I think it was Tybal who just sort of reached out, and then Alec Burks, I think, just ignored him. I mean, you've got to wrap the guy up at that point. Mm-hmm. But smart by Middleton, because you don't often see a guy do that. You often see them run the clock out and wait to get fouled, but he was like, well, the basket's here. I'm going to just take these 2 points rather than go to the free throw line, and he did that. But, yeah, the Bucks pulled it out in the end. That's fine. It doesn't matter if it was a little bit harder than it needed to be. They still got there, and Giannis was fantastic again, especially in the clutch. Hit a big three for them too, which was great. So his free throws, he was knocking in those as well last night. He's got a Dwight Howard annoying free throw style, though, where it's like that dribble, 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 dribble.
Little Karl Malone like for you.
Yeah, it's like, just get it up, man. Come on. I know you're working on that and you're going through that routine, the big deep breath. I like all that. But there are times where it's just like, just shoot it, man. Make it a 5 second limit that you can shoot free throws rather than 10 seconds.
Oh my God, this guy's turned on free throws. You're taking too long for Mr. Free throw over here.
I haven't turned on the free throw. I've just turned on the routine of like that, just pounding the ball down there like 5 or 6 times. Just shoot it, man. Come on, one dribble. That's all you need. Bang, put it in.
Well, Dwight Howard was asked about the Giannis sit there. I thought this was a little fun. He said, Dwight, I wanted to go and stone cold stunner him, but I already had one tech. He had a hell of a game. I don't want to talk trash or say anything negative, but we'll see him again. So, yeah, alluding to the fact there that, we'll be playing you guys very likely, at least in a playoff series. It could happen, of course. They could be on the opposite sides. Who knows if they meet? But, could have some more fireworks there. Okay, so let's get to the trade, because the Bucks did acquire PJ Tucker from the Rockets, and I actually did a little thing in advance for everyone on the stream team here. I'm just going to throw up the trade right there for you.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Bucks got Tucker, and the package going to the Bucks includes him, and then Rodion Kuritz, and Milwaukee's own 2022 first-round pick for a couple DJs, DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson. I wish DJ Tanner was in there, but she's not. A 2023 unprotected first-round pick, and then the Rockets also get the right to swap its second round pick for Milwaukee's first round pick this coming draft, unless it's somehow in the top 9, I think it is. So it's going to happen. There's going to be a swap there. So, Lee, get us started. Some trade grades. What do you think of either what the Rockets got for Tucker or what Tucker brings to Milwaukee and their chances to win a title?
Yeah, that's what this trade is. It's the Milwaukee Bucks needed the veteran presence of PJ Tucker. He's a two-way player. You know, he can shoot those corner threes, and we know he can play outstanding defense. He's a veteran. He's a leader. He's the sort of guy that they want on the floor closing out games. And I think that's important. Now, hasn't been shooting the ball well this year in Houston, but I'm going to give him a pass on that because I can understand a guy like him just losing his interest in playing for a team that's clearly nowhere near contending as it was last season once James Harden got traded. So this is good for the Bucks. I mean, they had to get this deal done. All those other picks and players, you know, DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson. I think DJ Wilson was the kind of guy they were hoping could perhaps fill this role, you know, an athletic guy, but he never really worked out. But then to give up those other the picks and things like that, the Bucks just had to do it because they're going all in. They want to be in contention for a championship this season. And I've spoken before that anything less than the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be a failure on them. So the front office there realized a player of PJ caliber's standard is available. You've got to go out there and get him. And you know, you're just shuffling around those picks and players. That's not going to make any significant difference to anyone. So you've got to go out there and get him because he's available, even though he's probably only going to be a rental for this season. But it's worth it if you're Milwaukee. You're also showing your leader, Giannis, like, we are prepared to do whatever we can just to get better, to improve by getting a defensive player there and a three-point shooter. That should help us at both ends. So I like this for Milwaukee. He was going somewhere, PJ, perhaps even to the Eastern Conference. So the fact that the Bucks were able to get in there and grab him before anyone else, particularly because Brooklyn sounded like they were trying to get him as well, I think this is a very important move for Milwaukee. So will it pay off? Who knows? But I think Milwaukee had to make this move, and they got it done.
Tass, what do you think? You were high on Tucker. You loved the idea of him maybe going to Miami. Here he ends in Milwaukee. I assume you like it for them.
I like my PJ. It's my PJ. Yeah, I'm excited for PJ Tucker to join the Bucks. I understand if you look at his stats, not good, on their own. But this year, yeah, he hasn't shot the ball well from three, but it's not like he's been bad for a couple years. It's just this season. Last year, he was fine, and everybody gets a pass in Houston. He should bounce back. He works harder than anybody, and most importantly, he's not going to hesitate when he gets that ball in the corner. He's going to let her fly because he doesn't get many opportunities, so he's going to shoot it. And that's what the Bucks need. They just need somebody who is not reluctant at all. They can't have anybody hesitate on the floor, and I think he should help out. He's nearing 36 years old. That ain't young by any standards, but they're looking to win right now. As far as showing Giannis, that's awesome. They trade away a couple guys here, and so they actually have a couple roster spots open still to see if they can grab somebody at the buyout period. So there's that. And yeah, all these picks, it's quite convoluted. I like how you put it up here, Skeets, but really the Bucks got back a pick that was theirs, which is nuts. And so they gave up one next year. Really, it's just they moved down in draft order by like 8 slots 1 year. That's really all that's happening. And I thought, besides DJ Augustine and DJ Wilson, who are decent role players, I thought maybe you'd get more for PJ Tucker than 8 draft slots. But they're looking at the money as well, because instead of being in the first round, they'll be in the second round, where you don't have a guy guaranteed for 3 years and you can pay him, a minimal amount. See the Robert Covington type deal. Like, you can, really, really lowball a guy for a second round. So they have a situation where they wanted to get below the line. They're paying a lot of guys, and they got below the line in this trade. So it makes sense. Late first for early second. I thought you'd get more for the Peach, but it's a little surprising, right? Especially considering that it's a seller's market right now. JD knows there's not a lot of teams selling. And so you'd think that would drive up the price a little bit. But I think PJ is going to be on the floor. You look at those last couple of years with the Bucks, and when they go in the playoffs, who do they have on the floor? Sometimes you just don't know who it's going to be.
Kyle Korver, sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. And PJ is going to play the defense at the very least, and he'll fire.
Houston could have 3 first-round picks in this coming draft, because it's very likely they're going to have Milwaukee's, because that's going to swap there. Portland's, and then either their own top 4 protected pick, which they're well on their way to hopefully getting that. They've lost 18 straight now, and we'll see if the ping pong balls land in their favor, or Miami's from that Oklahoma City 3-way swap that happened. So they're going to likely have 3 first-round picks, one of them probably really good, top 4, you would think, the way they're going again, and then some of these other ones. So they're going to have some bites at the apple there when it comes to the draft, which is, everybody tells us is loaded this year. So not bad. I hear what you're saying. I think some people thought they might get a little bit more for PJ Tucker, but maybe then when he stopped playing for them, Tass, that was like, a week ago now? He hadn't played in the last 4. So he's like, get me the hell out of here. Maybe they got a little more like, okay, we better just take what we can get here. And if that's a pick, sort of swap, then let's do it to get into the first round.
And they got in the first round this year as opposed to next year, which is a better draft class, apparently. And then you can always package those picks for a higher pick, too. Mm-hmm. So that's the important part. You kind of just accumulate them to move on up, because I don't know how deep it is, but it's probably not 30 deep.
No, you can find some gems, I guess. People were wanting to know in the stream team, Lee, did you trade your Wi-Fi connection for some new coffee beans or something like that? Because you were getting quite digital there with a little bit of the breakdown. We can still hear you, but all right, you seem crystal clear now. So that's
I've always got about 1,000 tabs open in the morning, so I closed a few of those down. Hopefully it's going to improve here now, but we'll see,
Yeah, next time close the Sirius U2 station you got playing in the background 24/7. Maybe it'll help the Wi-Fi. Okay, so in a separate deal, though, you just see a lot of people pretending it was a 3-way deal, but it actually was technically separate, because the Bucks made another move. It's not as fun as PJ Tucker, but here it is. Phoenix Suns get Torrey Craig. He's going from Milwaukee to Phoenix for good old Cash Considerations. Do you ever think, by the way, we'll see a player actually named Cash Considerations? Because that would be really confusing if that ever happened. But Tass, I don't think we're going to go long on this, but what were your thoughts on the Bucks moving him to Phoenix? Like, does he have a role there, Torrey Craig? Because he sure didn't find one in Milwaukee, and he was pretty good in Denver.
That's true. As far as Cash Considerations goes, I guess the closest we have is Cassius Stanley in Indiana. Just give him... his middle name could be Considerations.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know.
First name, short, Cash, Considerations. Yeah, it's a good get. This is all about the dollars for the Bucks. Torrey Craig, he was decent in Denver. He has never been as good a shooter as PJ Tucker or as good a defender. So he wasn't going to play in Milwaukee. So that makes sense. But for Phoenix, he is Yeah, he's a bit of insurance, really. And so that's what he is. And the Bucks, again, save dollars under the tax line with this. Makes dollar sense. And now they have open roster spots for, I don't know, maybe another mobile big that could be out there, another guard. Like they have options, and they already have, you know, Giannis as a defender on the wing type guy. Like they have enough of those. So yeah, maybe Torrey can find a few minutes, but yeah, this isn't a sexy skit.
No, the Suns have a lot of wing depth. That's the truth, right, Lee? I mean, again, I like Torrey Craig. I think he's fine. I think he's definitely a capable NBA player. I just, you know, if he couldn't find the run there in Milwaukee, I don't really see sort of how he finds it in Phoenix either, outside of what Tass says. You know, a guy or two goes down with an injury and then he gets a chance, which is fine. If it was just cash considerations, you might as well add him, I guess, if you're Phoenix. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm surprised as well things didn't work out for him, because they got him there and I thought there was a role for him, but sometimes it just doesn't quite work out for you. So he goes to Phoenix, which is actually not a bad situation because the team is doing well. So yeah, yeah. if there's a spot for him, he can go out there and perform. But yeah, Bucks get cash, so the rich get richer. That's that's what the headline should be.
Oh, that's really good, Lee. That's really good.
And the only other person would be Dame Dollar getting traded for cash considerations.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know
what you mean. There's got to be more, but now I won't take the time to go through them. All right, let's just move on from
what
that.
What about that Dwayne Bacon getting bacon?
Jeez. All right, come on, stream team. Come through with all the players in the NBA that would make a great headline if they were traded for cash considerations or something like that.
Do Montas Sabonis.
Oh, wow. Now we're stretching, but fire the pun gun. Final one here. We talked about it briefly on the beach yesterday on Wednesday's, I guess, third podcast of the day in the afternoon there, because the news had just broke. But the Thunder completed a trade that sent Trevor Ariza to the Heat for forward Myers Leonard, who is very likely going to be waived unless they can somehow package him in another deal, and a 2027 second-round pick. The deal also generated a trade exception for OKC. So the question is, how much can Ariza help Miami? I'm not super high on this. I get what the Heat are trying to do. For the second consecutive year, they're just adding a player who didn't play during the year, hopefully stayed in shape, and see if he can get some contributions from that player in the playoffs. I'm talking about they did that with Andre Iguodala last year. They're going to see if they can replicate that here with Ariza. You know, Iguodala, when I think back, like, was he good for them last year, the Miami Heat, in the playoffs? I would say yes. Yeah, like, you know, like, he wasn't incredible by any means, but he was a vet player out there in a lot of key moments. So, yeah, they're going to... Yeah, go ahead.
That 4-3 game.
That's true.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, good point.
Some flashes for sure. And yeah, he should be better this year. But yeah, Trevor Ariza, that's a good question. Will he be good? Eric Spoelstra continues to say he's been working out hard. Like, they've been scouting him. They know that he's been he's in game shape. And I just Googled, I think he was working out in Miami. If I'm not mistaken.
Geez.
In South Florida. So
okay.
Is there tampering there? I don't know. Andre Iguodala, if you want to throw that up. Ignatius Roberto, another cash one. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
Oh, that's good. So, yeah, like, the Heat are hoping either, he's another Iguodala, or really what they truly want is that Ariza is somehow Jay Crowder-esque, right, who was really good for the Heat in the regular season, then into the bubble playoffs. They're just hoping he's not another Mo Harkless here, who they were hoping Mo Harkless was going to be the Jay Crowder, and he has not turned out to that. So they're taking a chance, obviously, on this vet. I saw Kevin Pelton point out that Ariza has attempted more threes than twos in each of his past seven seasons. I mean, he really is a 3-and-D guy, like truly. His three-point percentage, it's sort of all over the map over these last years. It got as high as 41% way back with the Wizards in 13-14, and then as low as 33% in 18-19 with the Suns, and then back with the Wizards. Though, Pelton pointing out, he did shoot well from three in his brief stint there with the Blazers. He's knocked down about 40% of his three-point attempts. Not on a ton of attempts, it was like 85, but, you know, he can hit the three ball, he can catch hot and catch fire. So I like it. It's fine. It's I don't think Ariza will have those Iguodala-like moments, if I'm being honest, in a postseason. No. But again, maybe an insurance play here if somebody goes down.
And he only needs one or two of those if he does do it.
That's
true. If he's out on the court, you know, he's that veteran. You put him out there in the corner, and it's like, this guy can hit this shot, and that's all. You know, you're giving up nothing to get him as well. So he's an improvement over what they had there.
Yeah, and as we talked about too, OKC snagging another future draft pick. I've seen conflicting reports how many they have. I saw it as that OKC has 17 first-round draft picks and 15 second-round draft picks through the 2027 draft. But I think I've also seen 18 first-round picks and 14 second-round picks. Whatever. They got a boatload of them. Like, people are getting excited to ask for one day when Sam Presti has all 60 picks of one draft and how that would go down, which would be fun.
Yeah, and Lee will put on his blue light glasses and he will pretend to be Sam Presti picking 60 picks, top to bottom.
It's wild. I mean, there is pressure, though, on Sam Presti to get those right now. I mean, he's got them all, but you've got to. It's one thing to have them. It's another thing to make sure you either leverage those picks into other players,
yeah,
because we know OKC is not, you know, it's not a free agent destination, or make sure you knock it out of the park with those draft picks. Now, he's got a pretty good record in the draft, I think, Presti. You know, we take Kevin Durant out of that because he was getting Kevin Durant after the Blazers took Oden, but he picked James Harden early, he picked Russell Westbrook early. They were both turned into MVPs, and yeah, there's a few other players along the line, but you know, it's there's a point where it's like, okay, now you have to really make sure you cash in these to get some high quality players and be back contending pretty soon. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. Has somebody already written the article? Is it already out there? Like, the players that Presti could you know, go and get with all of these draft picks over the next 2, 3, 4 years to try and add to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Like, if that hasn't been written, it's being written right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. So you're right. I'm with you. Guy that got a lot of picks. Like, I would love to bet on how many of those picks does OKC actually make?
Yeah.
Let's say they have 32 draft picks up to 2027. How many will they actually draft and keep?
Right.
I mean, I have no idea. Like, I don't even know where to set the line on that, Tass. I mean, well,
yeah,
where are you going?
I think they're going to add to it first. They have Al Horford. They have George Hill. Why would they keep those guys around? Al Horford's a valuable asset. Mm-hmm. Maybe they trade Al Horford next year because gets closer to the end of his contract. But George Hill. Okay, so, you know, in the 30s, over under, oof, like 7.
Yeah, I was going to say right in the middle, too. I was going to go like 16 and a half. Like, are you going over or under on that, Lee? Over or under? They had 16 and a half. They actually make these picks.
I'll say over. I'll say over.
Wow. All right.
I think so. Yeah, because they could make them and then trade them.
Yeah, which he does a lot. So
yeah, that's true. All right, so those are our minor deals. Let's hope they pick up here over the next week, if we're being honest. Get a little juicier than that, though. Maybe don't hold your breath. These might be the type of deals we see over the next couple of days, and then we get to the buyouts, of course.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's get to last night's games. We're going to play a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah, what you got there? Try and make it a little more interesting than just going through all the games. And there's a ton of games. Not going to get to them all. If we don't, make sure you check out Tats's What You Need to Know from this morning. At least we'll mention some of the games that we might not even touch on. But a fun what you got here. Some monster games from, I'm going to call them fringe MVP candidates right now, Lili. Luka Doncic scored 42 points to help his Mavericks beat the Clippers 105-89. A little revenge win. That was our pick'em game too. You're welcome, by the way, Lee. We'll get to that later. And James Harden, just as dominant. He went for 40, 15-10 to lead the Nets to the 124-115 victory of the Pacers. Now Brooklyn, no Kyrie, no KD, no newcomer Blake Griffin. It was all Harden. So, tough one, Lee. Better performance from last night, Luka's 42 or Harden's 40-point triple-double. What you got?
Well, Harden closed out that game spectacularly there for Brooklyn. You mentioned there no Kyrie Irving. Obviously, Kevin Durant is still out, so he was great. But I'm going with Luka Doncic simply because of the defenders he went up against. And he absolutely cooked a few of them. In particular, Paul George, who is an all-NBA defensive-type player. And Luka was just spectacular last night. Like, he's got those abilities to really change speed, where he can go kind of fast for him, or he just goes at his own pace. We talk about, you know, Nikola Jokic, you can't speed him up. Doncic is similar in that vein, that when he is in control and he has the ball and he knows what he's going to do, he can get to his spot pretty comfortably all the time. He's also shooting 37% from three this season, which is a career high for him, because he's only been around 31% in those first couple of seasons, and that needed to improve. And I think you're seeing it now. Like, he's stepping into those shots, knocking them down, and he was just spectacular last night. Now, this was the second time these two teams had met in the last couple of days, and the Clippers won fairly comfortably the first time. So the Mavericks needed this win. And it started, you know, with their hero, with their leader, Luka Doncic. And I just thought he was incredible. He, you know, the Mavericks, I don't put them in the contender bracket right now. But when they have him playing at that level, it just changes so much, because I think they can compete with those other teams, even though they're still not there. I still think they're missing a piece, and I'm not sure if that is Porzingis, that piece. But Doncic is just incredible. And the Mavericks are playing pretty good right now as well. And so much of it, it's just down to whether or not Luka Doncic is in control of the game like he was last night. So James Harden was great. No doubt they came back against the Pacers there. But Doncic last night, I thought, was just spectacular. Being a leader for his team. He was doing some great celebrations there as well at the end with the aeroplane and stuff like that. Great fun to watch. Great player. Really good win. And Doncic is my answer.
The only thing crappy about that game were the jerseys. Yeah. It was not a good look with these Clipper grays and then the Mavericks greens. I get it, St. Patrick's Day. I'm sure that's why they were wearing them. But bit of an eyesore. I had people texting me, what's going on with these jerseys? I'm like, yeah, there's too many jerseys. It's out of control. But no real wrong answer, Tass, though. What you got with the better performance, Luka or Harden?
Yeah, I'll go with Luka as well, mainly because it was a bit of a flashback to last year's playoff series against the Los Angeles Clippers, which was a heck of a series. It was a blast of a first rounder with Luka, if you remember, hitting that monstrous game winner that made everybody go crazy. So I had that flashback. And yeah, he's giving it to Paul George there within the last minute. He loves going up against Paul George. And then the celebration, and Paul kind of went for the steal. I don't know if it's because Luka showed him the ball, but either way, if you make a really good defender look that bad, you got it, my man. Although James Harden has been doing it game in and game out, and has been really, really impressive. Yeah, I'll go with the Luke, because it was more of a show, and sometimes that tilts my answer here. So it was the showman Luke in that one.
And Lee, we got Paul George a little upset with the officiating again. Talking about the non-calls again. He wants the team to send the tape to the league.
Yeah.
So we only shot 11 free throws. We're attacking nonstop. What's going on here? It's like the third time I feel like we've had something like this from Paul George. He's pissed with the officiating, or how he's being officiated.
Yeah, well, he was saying earlier in the season how he doesn't get the respect. But you're not going to get it if you keep complaining every time your team loses that you don't get the calls. I didn't have a problem really last night. I mean, there's always, every single game, there's a couple of plays that could have gone either way. But Paul George is just becoming annoying that that's his sort of go-to. Oh, we lost. Well, you know, we didn't get the calls, so the refs were cheating us, you know. That sort of stuff. I just don't like it. If there's a clear play that, you know, influences the game at a crucial moment, you know, you can understand some frustrations, but you know, this was not a blowout, but it was a comfortable win here for the Mavericks. And Paul George, I think, was more just embarrassed a couple of times by Luka last night, getting, you know, getting dropped. And that was his kind of, you know, well, we lost this game because we didn't get the call. So I don't like it. He doesn't need to do that, Paul George. He just doesn't need to. Like, move on from it. He's such a good player at both ends of the floor. He's fun to watch, too, when he gets it going, you know? Mm-hmm. But this sort of stuff, I'm just like, come on, man, you got to just move on. Forget about it. You know, people are going to get so annoyed and sick of him complaining about the referees every time they lose. So, yeah, didn't like it.
That's been going on forever. It's like you have to have it part of your game, the whining, if you're going to be a Los Angeles Clipper. I mean, it happened with Blake and Chris Paul for years, right? And now it's continued. It stinks. Just go win. I mean, it is frustrating. It is frustrating. Especially with what happened last year. And it's frustrating because I want them to be good. I definitely want them to be fantastic in the postseason. But, yeah, they've fallen off. They did start off really, really well, but they've fallen off.
All right, let's talk top shots here. Not NBA top shot, just actual, real, tough top shots from last night. Tied at 85, Ja Morant goes the length of the court for the go-ahead layup with 1.2 seconds left. Grizzlies beat the Heat 89-85. Hit some free throws after that. Kyle Anderson, I believe, did, to end a three-game skid for them. And then meanwhile, in D.C., De'Aaron Fox scored 28 and hit the jumper over Bradley Beal with 0.7 seconds remaining. Created a little space. Good D from Beal, but Kings. Yes, the Kings get a two-point victory over the Wizards. So both great shots, but what was the bigger make, Tass? Ja Morant's layup or Fox's game-winning jumper? What you got?
Yeah, those were both awesome. I will go with Ja Morant because it wasn't a jumper. You know, the Fox one went swish.
Yeah.
And so you can't be angry at when a mid-range shot goes a swish like that. But it could have easily rattled out, even though it was good defense. Ja Morant wasn't going to let the basketball gods decide. He just went right to the hole. And yeah, it was full court, but it was off a free throw. So the defense was set.
Yep,
and it was against a good Miami Heat defense, and he was able to get to the hole, and a nice little celebration. He put the phone up to his ear. I'm not sure if that's a jaw thing, but it's good to use the phone every once in a while and not text, you know?
Put the text down, yeah.
He's an old soul.
Call your parents, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, I go with Ja. He does that every time. Like, it happened against the Nuggets, as we said, when it didn't work out, when Jokic bumped him. But he went to the hole. He goes to the hole every time for a game winner. It doesn't matter if, you know, you think he's going to get injured because he goes in there rough and tumble. He's going to do it. So I go with him.
Yeah, I think it was Dave DeFore on The Ding this morning. He compared Ja Morant's, like, full court layup to something you would see in March Madness, Lee. yeah. And, you know, pretty similar, you know, like 8 seconds to go, get, you know, no timeouts, get it to your quick guard and see if he can create. And Jimmy Butler is the one picking him up, by the way, like Tass said, like defense is set. Butler, like, he sort of like slows him down, so to speak, like sort of hits him a little bit, you know, they let the contact happen, that's fine, but Ja took it and then sort of turned on the after jets as he ripped around him. And then I thought was a very difficult finish. Like, you know, there are bodies there. He's flying 100 miles an hour and still to kiss it off the glass. Fox's jumper, you know I love Fox. That was pure. But I think I go Ja Morant as well when it comes to these two. What do you think?
Yeah, I also go with Morant because not only that, it was a win against a very good team right now, the Miami Heat, which the Grizzlies desperately needed. So that to me is when, you know, when the game's on the line and you're desperate for a win, make the high percentage attempt. And he did, and he knocked it in. But his body's always flying around through the whole game.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, defense, offense, he's just nonstop diving for balls and trying to get involved in every single play. So, yeah, I really like that. Yeah, I mean, De'Aaron Fox, you know, I always say I prefer it when a guy's going towards the hoop. De'Aaron Fox, it was a tied ball game, and he knocked it in. It looks great when it goes in, you know, and he had that little hand-up celebration like the game was over, even though there's still 7/10 of a second. Like, that could have – you can just see the way the season's gone for the Kings, that could have really come back to haunt them. But thanks to Russell Westbrook, it didn't need to. So, anyway, I think Morant, you know, making that play was the right thing to do, and he knocked it in. So, Well done, Ja Morant, finishing off the game.
Yeah, he said, go get a bucket. You're going to see those t-shirts pretty soon from Breaking Tea there. Go get a bucket, Ja said. And then, like Tass said, he's making the call. Love it. I love it. Yeah, people are comparing it to Tyus Edney. Remember him, UCLA guard? I remember that March Madness moment. I don't even watch March Madness. But both great shots. And, yeah, nice to see the Kings get a win and not blow it. You're right, Lee. There was 0.7. You're like, oh. They could still lose this. Yeah. Absolutely, they could still lose this, but they held on. All right, final one here, looking at a few other games. We had Pistons rookie Sadiq Bey. He had 28 points and 12 boards to help Detroit overcome Norman Powell's 43 to beat the slumping Raptors, 116-112. In Cleveland, I mean Sexland, the Cavs young backcourt combined for 54 points to beat the Beantown Boys, 117-100. That loss drops Boston to 500. And finally, oh, TK was having such a great week on vacation. His team wasn't losing. But the Bulls blew a 23-point lead, falling to the Spurs, 106-99. That was like a 20-point lead in the second half. Mm-hmm. So, some rough ones there. What was the worst loss, though? Raptors to Detroit, Celtics to Cleveland, or the Bulls blowing a huge lead to San Antonio? What you got, Tass?
Well, it wasn't the Raptors. Norman Powell dropped 43 points, a career high for him, and he had zero assists. That doesn't happen very often. That's the first time that's ever happened in Raptors history for a guy to score that much and not have one stinky, easy helper. And it helps his trade value if they are thinking about trading him the next week or so. I hope they don't. But it's kind of understandable. They had guys coming back in Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet who hadn't played in a few weeks, and they were very bad. So kind of understandable that they get a loss, especially against Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey.
True.
Yeah. It's always good for him to beat the old Raptors. It's got to be the Boston Celtics, who can't find any sort of life. I know they're on a back-to-back, but it doesn't matter, especially after losing to Utah. You got to come out with a better effort. That didn't happen against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Darius Garland and Colin Sexton were getting to the hoop at will. And I know Kemba wasn't there, but man, I mean, there's not much more to say. If you allow a team just to get to the hoop like that in an NBA game, they're only going to get more confident as the game goes on. And even though the Cavs are the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA, they're able to beat the Celtics because they were able to see the ball go through the hoop in the first few quarters. So, yeah, that's going to carry over. When you're an NBA player, yeah, it was too easy. And the Boston Celtics are making things too easy on their opponent, and that's why they're 20-20. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. So, yeah, the Celtics on St. Patrick's Day, as people are saying in the stream team. That makes sense. Yeah,
shameful.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, just to correct myself, the Celtics didn't lose by 17. They lost by 7. It's 117-110. I had that wrong. Still a loss, Lee. So where do you go? Is the Raps losing to maybe one of the worst teams in the league in the Pistons? Is it the Celtics continuing to slide here, losing to the Cavs? Or is it the Trey Kirby's Bulls who were rolling and fell apart there as the Spurs came back? Where do you go?
Well, I'll go with the Bulls because it was Patty Mills who lit up the Bulls in that last quarter there with 10 big points and came back. And I can get that in while Trey's not here, so he can't get too angry at me.
Oh,
and I'll just say,
St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, St. Patty's Day in Chicago. That's right. No, I think it has to be the Celtics. Again, no Kemba, he's not playing the second night of back-to-backs there, but they should be able to beat the Cavs easily, and they're just in a rut right now, but so are the Raptors. And the Raptors also have a little bit of a built-in excuse there with guys missing so much time due to coronavirus. I know Pascal was back last night, but...
And Freddie.
But, you know, the Raptors, 6 in a row they've lost. They're 17-23 right now, and outside the playoffs, this is a team that I think is much better than that, but not showing it right now. So we'll see if Masai does make any changes here before the deadline. I'm not sure if he does or if he just sort of says, listen, we've got to just get everybody's got to get back and get their win back and start playing better. But time is ticking, and they just look bad right now. But the Pistons probably aren't as bad as their record suggests, though. You know, they've been competitive lately in the last month or so. So, you know, a little bit of credit goes to Detroit for that one. But
Sadiq Bey is balling, too.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the, all-rookie first team. He's a top-five rookie. He's playing phenomenal. And the guy catches fire. Pistons catch fire from three whenever they play the Raps. It's really, really wild.
Yeah.
But DeLon Wright, good revenge game, I guess, for him. And then Poeltl, another former Raptor, in that Bulls game. He had an awesome line. I think he had 20-16 And he was pretty special. So, yeah, all these were tough. All these are bad losses. I had a tweet ready to go for Trey Kirby. So I actually maybe jinxed this. I obviously didn't publish it. I was waiting till after the game. But I had, like, the tweet was something like, Bulls haven't lost while Trey is on vacation. You now live in Florida. I'll forward you your mail. You know, stuff like that. Like, you can't come back. Your Bulls are rolling. But then they have this meltdown. But all three of these brutal. I'm getting people sliding into my Instagram DMs this morning with this either complete lie or scoop, guys, saying this person apparently is connected somehow to Indiana University Athletics. They know people that work, I guess, in the program. That the word on the street is they're offering Brad Stevens a 7-year, $49 million offer to go coach Indiana, their college team, go back to college. Again, this could be a complete lie, but there are all these rumors floating around. Would Brad Stevens go back to the college game, and would the Celtics move on? Maybe that doesn't happen. I can't imagine that's happening like right now. You know what? I don't think he'd just straight up get up and leave because they're a 500 team, but maybe at the end of the season, maybe there's something there. So crazy, crazy. But that wraps one. I was watching that, of course, and that was tough, especially Jack Armstrong on St. Patrick's Day. You know, he's on the call, proud Irishman. Oh, they were rocking, like, the green hats, him and Devlin. You know, power look. They had the socks on. They were having a good old time. Jack was talking about drinking a 40 from a paper bag, you know, because it was good stuff. Lots of laughs, but you shouldn't be losing to the Pistons. I don't care who just came back and stuff like that. Are they going to trade Norman Powell? You know, Blake Murphy at the Athletic had a great article up, Tass. You know, wondering you just trade him now because his value is so high. Never been higher.
No.
You know, and you're going to have to pay the guy. What do you think, just briefly here? Do you think this is something the Raps might explore in the final week before the deadline?
If they thought that they were somehow a championship-type team and moving Norman Powell in exchange for what they needed, I guess a big guy would somehow get them there, then maybe. But Norman Powell, why can't he be, you know, somewhere around this good for the rest of his career? Why can't he be a sixth man on a good team? And why can't it be the Raptors? I don't know. Maybe it's me valuing my hometown's team a little bit too much, but that's exactly what's going on in my brain. I'm saying I'd like Norman Powell a lot. Don't trade him. Keep him around. So that's what I would think if I was Masai Ujiri. I don't know. Is he going to? I just don't see a lot coming back for Norman Powell, even though his value is, as you said, the highest it's ever been, no doubt. Why would they get excited for a trade package that would come back? What are they getting back that's exciting? I'm not sure.
Well, they'd be, they're in a tough spot because they're not like a team like tear it all down. You know, we're going to go play for the draft. Like, you're not doing that when you've just signed Siakam and Van Vliet and you've got OG. Like, yeah, you're probably not doing that. But, man, someone out there has got to be interested in a guy like Norman Powell. A guy's scoring like 30 a game over the last little bit. Like, he is proving that he can get buckets. And he's in line for a payday because I think he has a player option, right, on his final year.
3 years and 42, wasn't it?
Yeah, and so I think he'll, it looks like if he's smart, he'll probably be turning that down and try and cash in on that. And that's why there's a possibility of the Raptors move on. Anyway, go check that article out. We love Blake Murphy here. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Yeah, it's $3.99 a month for new subscribers right now, but not for long. That article ain't going anywhere. So you can sign up on March 22nd for $1 a month if you want to wait. Do you? Okay, that was a lot of fun with what you got. Let's hear your answers. To all you podcast listeners, tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. or leave them in the YouTube comments if you're watching. All right, we'll get to Tweet of the Night. But JD, your turn, man. Sell me some glasses.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, while we're going with dad jokes, what do you call a potato that wears glasses? A spectator.
Oh, tater. Nice. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Took I lost second. That for a second, but yeah.
Potatoes. Really. World Sleep Day. What is that? What's the point of that?
I mean, that's to bring bring attention to how important sleep is, I would imagine.
Everybody knows. Like,
do they though? I think that's the thing. I don't think enough people
treat
sleep.
I've only been told for 40 years how important sleep is.
Yeah, but do you have a routine? Do you go to bed at the same time?
Okay, so I'm getting tips on World Sleep Day. Is that what it is? Okay. I guess there's master classes for it.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Right.
All right. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
JD, Tweet of the Night honors. Where are you going?
Yeah. So this is actually, I'm going off the board again. I'll pull a Lee here. This is not a tweet. This is a story, an Instagram story from our good pal, Tassim Ellis, that appeared in my feed yesterday, I guess.
Okay.
So technically, it was 24 hours. It was like 21 hours after Tass posted it. But I'll back up a little bit because we got an email from Peter Hart in Melbourne. And it says, I was watching the show today, another instant classic, and I couldn't help but notice Tass and his background. Mm-hmm. You know, he's sort of...
he's in the void.
The void, but he's also got those... there's lines. If you look closely, there's lines emanating from his head.
The baffling.
Yeah. And I noticed that his background in the darkness and his new digs kept reminding me of 80s icon Max Headroom. Mm-hmm. And he enclosed a picture... Where is it? It is right here. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, I'm right with you. It's pretty close. And it's funny that you sent this in, and this is why I'm using this, because it actually reminded me. I was trying to think of things that it reminded me of. So I have a couple that I wanted to share. So, and actually, this was pointed out by many, many people.
Yes.
The Sinead O'Connor,
Nothing
Compares to You. So there's that. I also thought of the Charlie Rose set, which is, you know, basically just a dark black void there. So, and then also there's the sunken place from Get Out.
Mm.
Great scene from a great movie. And his test is flying down. And then there's also the upside down from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Eleven is wandering around in the darkness. But really, my favorite is my favorite that I came up with is the Phantom Zone from Superman 2.
Oh, wow.
The three criminals get banished with General Zod there. So,
It looks like they got banished, and that looks like a Top Shot moment.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Cool. I can't wait to open that. Try and sell that. Yeah, all the references.
Sybil Shepherd, Max Headroom, the No Dunk community is hip to all the latest pop culture references. Thank you,
there's a couple in here. There's a couple in here that are current. Zach McDonald, the Hot Ones set. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Completely black, yeah, for sure. JD, doing some work there.
Photoshop boy, are you?
Photoshop.
I'm trying to be a Photoshop boy. Yeah, it's I will do anything to avoid actually going on Twitter. tweet of the night. Like, there's so much more labor intense. All I had to do was just sort of scroll through and pick a tweet, but it's too much.
You'd rather Photoshop 5 photos. Wow.
That's right.
Good work. They switch up there. I love it. Okay. Pick 'em results. Brought to you by BetMGM. Last night's game, Clippers were favored by 2.5 on the road. It was the second game of their little mini series here. If you remember on yesterday's show, Lee was going to take the Clippers because you almost had to swerve again.
Yeah,
I felt bad. I felt bad from the night before. I said, I'll take it. And then you went back and forth. Oh, I don't know. In the end, Lee, you got it right. And so did Tass. And so did Trey / JD, who continues to be undefeated in this. I took the Clips and I lost. So you're welcome, Lee. I literally gave you a victory.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to pick the Mavs. It's just when you're last and everyone else is on the same team, it's like, I just swerve? But so I'm glad I got the pick in that I wanted, and you just decided to do the reverse swerve, I guess, in that sense.
The reverse swerve. So Tass, 8-2. Trey /JD, 7-3. I'm 5-5 with that loss last night, and Lee, you improved to 4-6. So let's get to tonight's game. Let's let Lee go first here tonight, Tassa. But what are we picking from?
We're picking from a game that happened, a rematch of a game that happened on Tuesday night. The Pels, if you remember, gave up that monstrous lead, a 17-point lead with 6 minutes left to the Portland Trail Blazers. They're playing again. Dame had 50 in that one. At home, once again, to the Pelicans. Blazers are favored by 1.5, so really close line. What do you think happens in the rematch, Lee?
Yeah, well, so if the Blazers win by a point, they lose the game. Lose the cover in this. But I'm not betting against Damian Lillard, so I'll take the Blazers.
Okay. Skeets, what do you think?
Ooh, well, I do like this. I'm going to pop this up. JD right now picking for Trey. JD's like Nate McMillan, replacing and keeps the 100% record. That's right. I'll be honest. I know you guys are fans of them. I feel like you are, Tass, these little mini series. I hate them when it comes to betting. I really do. It drives me insane because you're like, well, that team just won, but then there's the revenge factor, like we saw it with that Clippers Mavs. Which is why I'll go Pelicans. I'll do what the Mavericks just did to the Clippers, sort of getting the revenge, if you want to call it that. Give me the Pelicans, though. Well, I might regret that if Lillard goes nuts again or McCollum has a breakout. Is McCollum playing? He probably is, right? If he's back.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I'll take the Pelicans. What about you, JD?
Yeah,
I'm also... I can't bet against Damian Lillard.
Wow.
And I also feel like we would...
I know.
I feel like we would also be betting against our man Lamar, so...
I can't do it. Okay.
I'm taking the Blazers.
Wow, man, I do not like being on the other side of JD right now, but what are you going, Tass?
I'm going in the mantra of no dunks. We don't wear Blazers, no Blazers. Give me the Pelicans.
Yeah, okay. You're 8-2. I like that. That's good. Okay, two of us taking the Pelicans. Two of us taking the Blazers. Blazers got to win by 2, is that right? That was the line?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good luck to everybody. Did you end up sending that... Slack message or text message to our guy TK to pay off February's pick'em loss?
I did. I sent it to him, and he responded. Just pulling it up here now.
Wait, you're gonna play it? Oh, you're just pulling it up.
Okay. No, I'm just pulling it up. He said, I'm sure I can figure something out.
Okay.
It wasn't a, yep, no problem, I'm on it. It was, I guess I'll have to do something here.
I love it. Okay, so what? He's got to do this by tomorrow, I guess, at this point. He's got to do it today.
Yeah, do it while he's... it doesn't have to go into tomorrow's show. It might actually be better if we play it on Monday and then we can talk to him about it. But whatever.
That's what it comes down to with Pick'em. Whatever. Yeah.
Seems like Pick'em's dying a slow death here.
Well, the payoff part is. I don't mind the picking part, but...
Yeah, no, the payoffs are...
You know what?
Getting
what
further
just,
and further
why
in
just
the month.
Do this? Pick a charity. Losers got to give money. I mean, just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's a winner.
And record like, it, and record you clicking to their website and paying.
Record you putting in your credit card information for the world to see. That's the
point. Or we've been doing punishments for so long. Why don't we race to the bottom and give a reward to the person?
Whoa.
I mean, we practically already did with the Arby sandwich for Task the last time, right? So it's just
he got to eat a delicious meal early.
That's
in the
right.
Morning.
Yeah. So the next guy gets a massage or a pedicure or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
The goal is to lose,
which would be kind of fun.
Interesting. I don't mind this. Okay, well, we'll think this over. Don't worry. We'll get Trey to do something. Either it's going to air in tomorrow's show or we'll just save it till Monday. He will be doing something because we hadn't changed the rules by then. But yeah, and we'll see this one out. Lee and I looking, right now, I guess there's a lot of time left for us to bounce back, Lee. It always feels like you're way back when you're like, you see 4-6 and Trey's 7-3, but you know. Three nights and you're right back into it if you get a little lucky.
I just want to know if when Trey comes back next week, if JD goes 5-5, if Trey just says, JD, you just keep making these picks, you know?
Interesting.
I mean, why not? Yeah.
Sure.
He should. He should. He's a smart man. I think he will. Someone in the comments just said that there's no TNT games tonight. I noticed that last night. I was talking to the guys in the Slack here. Zach, I'm sorry to say, there will be no happy hour tonight. We didn't see that. I didn't look ahead enough. I just assumed there were going to be some games on Thursday night on TNT. Is this March Madness reasons?
Yeah, I guess
yes,
so.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. These were the two days.
Yeah.
Two days that we used to have off back at Turner. They give us the Thursday and Friday off because everybody's watching NCAA. So no one's watching the show right now other than Zach.
Yeah.
And Sam, Ignatius, and Mike, and
Yusuf, and AJ.
Jason.
Yeah. But no, sorry, guys. There will be no. We're just going to take it off. I mean, look, could we do it? We don't have to line it up with the TNT games or stuff like that, but it does help. And we'll just take the night off. Everybody's going to be watching the March Madness anyway, like Tass said. So we'll likely be back sooner rather than later when it comes to the happy hour. You know, we don't even have to just do them on Thursdays. We can just pick a night. We can do them on Tuesdays, right? They do games on TNT on Tuesdays. So, sorry, no happy hour tonight. If you guys were getting excited about that, take the night off. Hang out with your family instead of us. All right. Comment, like, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic for very few dollars a month. That's how I'm now saying it. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Unbelievable offer. Very few dollars a month. And then they know that we sent you. Theathletic.com/nodunks. All right. Enjoy that NCAA tournament if that's your thing. Otherwise, we will be back with What You Need to Know tomorrow. And then the drop podcast because it's Friday. So you can join us live at 10 a.m. Eastern here on YouTube if you want to see how the sausage gets made. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the reason we're not doing a happy hour tonight is because it's World Sleep Day tomorrow. You got to get to sleep.
Yeah? That's a good call. Embrace the day, people.